We've heard stories of God working in these men's lives. Now we turn to Scripture and we see how God works in the life of another family as well. Turning to Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 43, it's the story of Tabitha. It's found on page 1708 in the Pew Bibles. This is how Luke tells the story. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." And Peter went with them. When he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And Peter sent them all out of the room. And he got down on his knees and he prayed. And turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes. And seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. And this became known all over Joppa. And many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. The word of the Lord. Father, our focus in worship is always on you, on your Son, in the presence of your Spirit. Lord, we've heard stories of you working in the lives of these men and in other men. And Lord, now we've just read of how you worked in the life of Tabitha and those around her. Lord, we pray that these words may sink deep inside our minds and hearts to shape us and form us into the people you've called us to be. And I pray that the words which will be spoken now, may they be your words and not mine. I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This morning we've had the privilege of hearing these young men share their stories of life transformation, but it was not in their own strength that they were transformed. It was through community, and it was through the power of Jesus Christ. It's easy to focus on the stories. It's easy to focus on you as young men and the journeys you've made through darkness. And in many ways, you experience death. Death of relationships, death of hopes, death in so many different ways. And now you're walking with hope and you've found new life. They found healing. Not because they were special. Not because God has huge plans for them. We don't know that. But because Jesus, in one way or another, entered into their lives and the Holy Spirit is working in them. The power of their stories is in how they point to Jesus, to the Jesus who brings new life. See, Tabitha isn't healed because she's some special, great, wonderful, amazing woman. She's not healed because she's loved by so many people. Plenty of good people die every day. Plenty of people who do good and help others. They die. They leave us. Our temptation is to look at the person who's healed and given life instead of who brings life and healing. The apostles are becoming known for their power, for having the same power to heal and do miracles that Jesus had. And now there's a huge difference between healing someone and bringing them back from the dead. But these people care deeply for Tabitha. And when she died, they figured they got nothing to lose by calling Peter and praying that just maybe he can do something. They urge Peter, please come at once, and Peter does. I believe that you made your way to Teen Challenge and to the Lord because there were people praying for you, people you didn't even know about, people who care and love about you and love you for who you are. My own family is touched by addiction, touched by brokenness. My extended family, I grew up. My parents were foster parents. Many of the children that came in were broken. They were hurt. We had children as young as 10 years old who had tried to take their lives as well. They thought it'd be better to be dead than alive. And don't kid yourselves, our churches are filled with people who wrestle with addiction, who wrestle with brokenness, who may be living and breathing, but in many ways, hearts and souls are dead. And they just exist. Healing is not found in our own strength. Hope's not found in our own strength. If you are wrestling with addiction, if you are wrestling with a death in your soul, in your heart, know that there are people who love you and care for you so deeply and who want you to find healing. They don't have a Peter to call out to, but they call out to the Lord. They call out to Jesus for you. And then Jesus shows up through people. Now Peter arrives, and he's taken upstairs, and he's shown the robes and clothing that Tabitha's made. It's like the people are trying to convince him that she's good enough to receive such a miracle. Even her name, which means gazelle and refers to loveliness, loveliness of soul and loveliness of spirit, seems to suggest that she's special enough for such a miracle. And yet as children of God, we are all precious to him. We are all princesses and princes in the kingdom and worthy of healing and new life. If you are broken inside and you think you aren't worth anything, you are so mistaken. You're here this morning because God wants you to hear a message that you are valued, you are precious to him. He wants to offer you new life. He doesn't want you to walk in addiction and brokenness and hurt. That's why he gives us the church, because we can't do it on our own. That's why he gives us organizations like Teen Challenge that are focused on Jesus. Because we can't do it on our own. And Peter sends everybody out of the room. And he gets down on his knees. And he prays in humility. Because he knows that he can't do it. He knows he doesn't have the power to heal or raise Tabitha from the dead in his own power. That can only come from Jesus, who defeated death on the cross, where he washes away our sin, where he claims victory over Satan and death, where he offers us new life to all who believe in him. When Peter goes down to his knees and prays for life in Tabitha, we hear the heart of Jesus. We hear the echoes in the Old Testament back to Elisha, who was an archetype of Jesus, who as well raised up that the Tsunamin woman's child to life from death. But again, He did it by calling out to God and praying. We hear the echoes back to Jesus, who raised Jairus, his daughter, from death to life. And when Jesus raises us from death to life, it's not with fancy words. It's not with spectacular events and power. It's often at 3 a.m. where Jesus reveals himself to us and says, I am here with you. I will raise you up. Peter turns to Tabitha and simply says, Tabitha, get up. But he does it in the name of Jesus. Jesus, who is the word of life. Jesus, who is our hope. Life comes from Jesus, who is the word of life. Tabitha's story comes as a part of a whole series of new life stories that come all in a row. There's Saul's conversion, who dies to hatred and anger and becomes this apostle for God, for Jesus. Just before this is Aeneas, who is healed. Tabitha is rising from the dead. We'll be looking at part of Cornelius' story of new life in Jesus and being welcomed into the church of God and that new life, that conversion. And they all point us to different aspects of what new life in Jesus looks like. And they all point us to the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven's all about. Tabitha's new life is a glimpse of the resurrection life found in Jesus and what's waiting for us after our own death. We receive resurrection life as well. And some of us will experience resurrection life in this life. And then we'll experience it after our physical death again. Tabitha's resurrection is temporary. She dies again, as did Lazarus and others raised from the dead in Scripture. But you're already experiencing resurrection life right now. You see, Jesus has looked at you. And he said, you're precious to me. And I don't want you to live in brokenness and death. I want you to live in life. He says, I want you to remember that your life is not about you. It's about how your life can point to me. How your life can offer hope to somebody else who's walking through darkness and death right now. If you know somebody who's hurting, if you know somebody who has lost hope, or if you're in that place yourself, you can't do it alone. I am here during the week. Pop on by. I know it's hard to share your stories in front of other people. But your elders and myself, there are others in this church. We're committed to walking with you. We will cry with you. But we will also remind you that Jesus loves you. And he can bring change and hope, new life transformation to you. If you have someone in your life that is walking this journey and you are afraid to approach them by yourself. Again, that's what myself, elders, and others are here as well, to help you walk with others too. Because we don't walk this journey alone. We walk this journey as brothers and sisters together, as beloved children, a of our God. Amen. Father, we thank you for the hope that we find in Jesus. We thank you for the promise of resurrection life. And Lord, for all of those who are walking these journeys towards healing, who are in the first stages of this new life, Lord, surround them with your presence through your church and through those who have been praying and loving and calling on you way before we realized. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for healing, for hope, for new life. Amen.